Ephesians chapter 3, and I want to begin reading there in verse 1. We want to welcome those that have joined us via the internet. And dawned on me after I got to church this morning, I forgot to put my tie on. I did remember to get dressed, thank goodness. Some of you that aren't on Facebook, you probably didn't hear about my episode up at the motel there in Franklin. And I tell these things on myself just so that as I get older, you'll understand. But we were getting ready to go, and from the motel there, and Mary had spent her 3 hours in front of the vanity, and I'm sorry. And so then I took my 5 minutes, and I was fixing to brush my teeth, and so I reached down into my shaving kit there and felt and got the tube and put it on my toothbrush and began to brush my teeth. And I thought, man, that toothpaste has gone bad. It's been in the shaving kit too long. And stupid me, I just kept brushing. And the more I brushed, the worse it got. And I said, there's something wrong. And I picked it up, and it was Preparation H. I now have a special compartment in my shaving kit for the Preparation H. And I don't recommend it. I will say my teeth did not itch all day long. But anyway, I got dressed early this morning, didn't put my tie on while I was in front of the computer there and stuff and finishing up the bulletins and just got up and left. And so I don't have a tie on today. But Jerry doesn't either. I'd let him preach. But Ephesians chapter 3. And if I was going to give this message a title, we would call it, Have You Heard? You know, if somebody walked into a room of people and made that statement, Have you heard? You'd be very inquisitive. You'd want to know what they were talking about. And most of the time, when people say that, it's either really good news or really bad news. I want to talk to you about some really good news. And in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, Paul says, For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, And so I want to ask you this morning, have you heard of the dispensation that was given to the Apostle Paul to usward? And you say, those of you that attend here on a regular basis and hear the preaching of the word rightly divided and understand the mysteries committed to our apostle, the Apostle Paul, you would say, well, that's a foolish question. But I want to tell you this morning that for 24 years I attended church. I started preaching when I was 18, and I preached from 18 to 24, and I had never heard of the dispensation of the grace of God. Say, how could that be? Well, I can tell you how that would be, is because all of my reading, all of my studying, and all of my preaching was from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And guess what? The dispensation of the grace of God is not in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So if you're not reading Paul's epistles, if you're not studying Paul's epistles, and you don't have a preacher that is preaching to you the truth of Paul's epistles, then it's a very good possibility that you've never heard of the dispensation of the grace of God. And that's a tragedy. It really is. You see, Paul says, For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God. Now, when you begin to talk about dispensations, I had a call this past week from a young man, or a message from a young man, and he wanted me to go and meet with him and another preacher. And he was somewhat familiar with what this preacher believed, and he wanted to kind of have a discussion about some things in relation to the Scripture. And what this man had told him, he's a recent graduate of a theological school, and he had told this young man that this dispensational stuff, it pops up about every 100 years. And there'll be a group of people that'll get interested in it, and it'll last for a while, and then it'll die out again. Well, folks, I want to submit to you this morning that the dispensation of the grace of God was in effect when Paul wrote Ephesians chapter 3, and it remains in effect today in 2014. And the dispensation of the grace of God doesn't just pop up every few years. It's always been there. People say, well, where do you trace all this back to? I trace it back to the Apostle Paul. The dispensation of the grace of God. Let me begin by saying to you that the word dispensation is not a dirty word. And don't be alarmed when people call you a dispensationalist. Because everybody is. Everybody is. We were talking down in Baton Rouge in a discussion at the table there one day. I think it was lunch, maybe breakfast. But about how many dispensations there are in the Bible. I was going to a Bible conference one time. And the preacher assigned me a topic. And he said, I want you to discuss, I want you to preach on how many dispensations there are in the Bible. And so when I got up to preach, I announced my topic and I said, I want to say in the very beginning, I have no idea. So I'm going to talk to you about the one I know something about. Now there's a lot of changes in the Bible as to how God deals with individuals. Scofield identified years ago 7 dispensations. Bullinger identified 7 dispensations. I have no idea if there are only 7 or less than 7 or more than 7. But the point is that I do know that the dispensation of the grace of God was committed to the Apostle Paul. And it was for us. And if you look the word up, let's say in a Greek dictionary, it's a very simple word. It's an administration of a household or an estate, an administration. But if you don't like to look in a Greek dictionary, you can look in a Webster's dictionary, and this is the definition it gives of a dispensation. It says, a general state of ordering things, specifically a system of revealed commands and promises regulating human affairs. Now that'll work. Think about that. A system of revealed commands and promises regulating human affairs. You know what system of theology, if you want to call it that, you know what system of commands and promises that you need to allow to regulate your affairs? That which was given to our apostle, the Apostle Paul. You can't operate your Christian life on the basis of ignorance. And if you're back there in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John trying to operate your life and run your life and conduct your life according to the teachings of Jesus, just because those words are in red letters, listen, the teachings of Jesus are of utmost importance. But Jesus taught a lot of things that later the Apostle Paul, the Apostle of the Gentiles, taught that were absolutely contrary to one another. Why, Jesus taught his disciples, take no thought for your life, what you're going to eat, drink, or put on. Paul said, if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. They're not the same. So, have you heard of the dispensation of the grace of God? Many have not. Now, Paul uses the word dispensation 4 times in a King James Bible. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 17, he talks about a dispensation of the gospel. In Ephesians 1:10, he talks about the dispensation of the fullness of times. We just read in Ephesians 3:2 about the dispensation of the grace of God. And in Colossians 1:25, he says he was a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. As I said, I want to talk to you specifically about some things that people have not heard. And I'm talking about people that many times attend church. And this is not in any way to try to run people down or be condemning in any way. To me, it is a travesty. It's sad that people have not heard many of the Bible truths that we hold dear. It's sad that people don't know that they're living in the dispensation of the grace of God. It's sad that people do not know that the Apostle Paul is the Apostle of the Gentiles. Look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 6, Paul says there to the church at Corinth, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor are the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." It was ordained before the world, but it was kept secret. Verse 8, "which none of the princes of this world knew." Why? "For had they known it, they would have not crucified." They would not have crucified the Lord of glory. "But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him." I've mentioned to you several times over the years how that I can remember very distinctly as a young man going to my preacher on several occasions, and I'd ask him questions. And I always knew when he didn't really know the answer, because he would always quote that verse, "I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered the heart of man the things which God prepared for them that love him." And he would always say, "Brother Steve, you just have to understand there's just some things God didn't intend for us to know." I had no idea where the verse was. He never told me where it was. He just quoted it, and so I assumed it was in the Bible. I was amazed when I read through Paul's epistles and read verse 10 that said, "But God hath revealed them unto us." Think about that. God hath revealed them unto us. How? "By His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." You see, Paul said up there, "I have not seen, nor ear heard." Well, those things that were not seen or not heard are now seen and are heard. How? "By the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery." That's how they're made known. They're heard. The Apostle Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles. Look over in Romans chapter 15. In Romans chapter 15, in Romans 15, verse 16, Paul says that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. And that is set in contrast to verse 7, or verse 8, he says, "I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision." The Bible says he came into his own. His own received him not. When he sent out the 12 in Matthew 10, he said, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. That's not you and I. Verse 16, "that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles," ministering what? "The gospel of God, that the offering up to the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore, whereof I may glory, through Christ Jesus, in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me." That kind of goes along with what Brother Jerry was talking about this morning, folks. You can forget the idea that Peter taught Paul what to preach. Paul said, "I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through many signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about until Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation." Now notice, "but as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand." Well, how do we understand? We understand today through Paul's writings who we are in Christ, what we have in Christ, and so forth. People today, many people, there are multitudes of people that have never heard of the dispensation of the grace of God. They have never heard that the Apostle Paul was the Apostle of the Gentiles. You know what most were taught? You know what I was taught? And I bet you there's somebody else here that was taught the same thing. I was taught that when Paul got saved, that he replaced Matthias, because Matthias had been chosen outside of God's will because they cast lots. And that Paul became the 12th apostle, or the 12th disciple. And that he simply carried out the ministry of Peter, James, and John, the disciples there, and taught the same thing, but just a further revelation of it. And that everybody that got saved was in the church, started there in Acts chapter 2, the one that Christ told Peter about. That's what I was taught. That's what many people are taught today. You know the only problem with that? It's not scriptural. It won't work. Paul was saved in Acts chapter 9, and Paul received what he received direct from the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. You know, it almost astounds me at times that people will simply wrestle against the words of God written down on the page and resist them. I've been having an ongoing discussion on one of the Facebook groups there about forgiveness of sins. You know, folks, 1 Corinthians 5:19 pretty well settles it. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses. So this fellow says, well, they're not imputed, but they're still not forgiven. Come on, if God is not imputing your trespasses, then God is not forgiving your trespasses. You've forgiven all trespasses on the basis of what Christ did at Calvary. God made him to be sin for us, he knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, I don't know what that has to do with anything I'm preaching, but I just had to throw that in. Galatians 1, the words on the page. Why would somebody say that Paul learned his gospel from Peter when Paul said in verse 11, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, was Peter a man? Was James a man? Was John a man? They were all men. I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. God Almighty appeared to the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9, and he gave unto him the truth about his grace. And Paul began to proclaim that. And I don't believe there's any point in Paul's ministry when he preached the gospel of the kingdom. He preached the gospel of the grace of God. Jerry was going through a bunch of things in the book of Acts, and some of us were talking about that after it was over. And one of the things you have to always keep in mind is that you can never get a clear picture of all that Paul preached simply by reading the book of Acts. For example, when he went to Corinth in Acts 18, you know what Luke recorded? That when he stood up, he preached unto him that Jesus was the Christ. So somebody runs over and says, see, that's all Paul was preaching. But if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul said, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, was buried, raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. He said, I determined not to know anything except among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Then what are we going to believe? What people say about that or what Paul said? When Paul was at Corinth, he preached the gospel of Christ to them. You might not find that written down in his visit to Corinth, but he declared it unto them. How do I know that? Because of what Paul said. Paul was the apostle of the Gentiles. He's the one that received the revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet many people have never heard of the dispensation of the grace. And they, and like me, have never heard that Paul is a separate and distinct apostle that was given a separate and distinct revelation. I never will forget when I read through my Bible and I began to see some of these truths and then listened to Brother Moore and Brother Lowry that was here. And I was so excited because of what I was seeing, because finally there was an answer to so many questions I had. My mom and dad lived down in Prattville, Alabama. And so we went down there for a visit. Our daughter Stephanie was about 18 months old at the time, maybe two. And so that afternoon, Saturday afternoon, never will forget it, we were sitting there in the kitchen, and Stephanie said Mary said she's going to put Stephanie down for a nap. And she took her back here in the bedroom, laid down with her. And so we made a pot of coffee, and I went in the other room and got my Bible, and I brought it laid on the table. I said, Dad, I want to talk to you about some things. I want to show you some things I've learned in the Scriptures. I was absolutely convinced that he was going to be thrilled to death like I was. I really was. I mean, that's how naive I was. I'd seen this. It answered the questions about what I'd seen as contradictions in the Bible, differences in the Bible. I was thrilled to death. This was the greatest thing I'd ever seen. And so I opened the Bible there. And I guess maybe it's like feeding people too much meal at one time. You know, I wanted to give them everything I'd learned up to that point. And so in about an hour time, I crammed it all in. I mean, I started with Paul being apostle, Gentiles, Paul's gospel, dispensation. I mean, I was just going, flipping, turning scriptures. And while I was doing that, I was reading them, you know, and I'm thinking, I'm going to start getting an amen here in a second, and hallelujah, and glory to God, and all that kind of stuff. And I looked up, and my dad was looking at me like I didn't have a head. Like, what in the world are you talking about? Well, what I realized later on, that it's going to be very difficult for a parent to listen to their child. But it was very difficult also for him, because I was telling him things that went against everything that he had believed since the day he got saved. And I never had a doubt in my mind of his salvation. He had a wonderful testimony of the Lord, believed in eternal security, believed he was sealed on the day of redemption. But he just had some misunderstandings. And so every time we'd get together, after my mother died, 2 or 3 years later he remarried, and my stepmother would get so upset because she thought we were arguing. We were just discussing loudly the Bible. And she'd get so upset because we were discussing loudly the Bible. And so about 4 years before he died, I went over to his house to visit one weekend. And when I walked in, there on the coffee table, I never will forget it, was Clarence Larkin's book, Dispensational Truth. And I said, hallelujah. I said, Dad, what are you doing with this book? He said, well, we're studying that in Sunday school. He said, that guy is really smart. Mary looked at me like, don't say anything. I didn't say anything. That same weekend, when we sat down to eat, my dad always prayed, and he was one of those that would pray. Everybody says, I don't pray long enough when we're going to get ready to eat. Well, he prayed a long time. I mean, you'd be praying, he'd quit praying, you know, because he'd just pray about everything when you get ready to eat. But he'd always end it with, and Lord, forgive us for all of our sins. And so he kept a Bible, and Mary said one time, she said, you know, the one thing that you always had respect about your dad was he read that Bible. He kept it by his chair. There was never a day that he didn't read at least a half hour to an hour in his Bible. And so the Bible was laying there, and I picked it up, and I said, Dad, I want you to read something. And I turned over Colossians 2:13. Colossians 2:13 says he's forgiven you all trespasses. I said, I want you to read that verse right there. I said, I want to ask you, are all your sins forgiven? He said, yep. I said, well, then why, when you pray, do you ask Christ to forgive you your sins when they're already forgiven? He said, Closed the Bible up, laid it back on the stand. I never heard him ask forgiveness one time after that. But he would have never said, well, that's a wonderful truth, son. Thank you for showing me that. It just wasn't going to happen. But listen, folks, people don't have to acknowledge it. They don't have to acknowledge you. Plant the seeds. It's all about the Word of God. One soweth, another watereth, and God gives increase. Don't worry about somebody patting you on the back or somebody saying, oh, thank you for showing me this truth. Listen, we're all in this together. And we preach the gospel of the grace of God and the revelation of mystery to show people the truth so that they might be free from the bondage that religion has them in today. And it doesn't matter whether a large number believe it or not, it's still the truth. Have you heard of the dispensation? People have not heard of the dispensation of grace of God. Many people have not heard that Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles. And you know, even sadder than all that, many people have not heard the gospel that Paul preached. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Now, as I said, I was about 24 years old when we moved up here to Chattanooga. And I began to read and study my Bible. I was disgruntled with the religion I was part of at that time. And I began to see some wonderful truths. First night I ever walked in this church, it was Rivermont Baptist Church. Brother E.C. Moore was up here preaching. And he preached a message, "Where are the dead?" It was not dispensational. He drew the chart up here about the compartments of hell and all that. And yet, it was the first time that I'd ever heard a man preach that I believed exactly what he was preaching and believed the Word of God. All I had heard up to that point mostly were stories and things to try to get people down an aisle. And I was amazed that night that there was no invitation given. And so I went home and told Mary about this preacher, and we came back the next Sunday and he wasn't here. The pastor was. But because I was shown some things about the Bible, I began to read and study. That was in May. In August, we had a Bible camp up on Mowbray Mountain, Hayden and I unopposed property up there. We had one building with a bathroom in it. We had a kitchen with a tree going up through it. And we had tents set up and had dug a hole for the boys' bathroom. And I mean, it was just, you're talking about rough, it was rough. But I will never forget the first night that Brother Moore preached up there. He read Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation, everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." He said, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And he read these verses. Verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." And I promise you, folks, the thought that went through my mind immediately was, so that's how you get saved. That's how you get saved. But then I said, but you're already saved. You walked the aisle when you was 12 years old and got baptized, and you've been preaching for 6 years. How is it you could be lost? But you know, that time that I struggled, I'd always go back. Was there ever a time when I remember hearing that Christ died for my sins before I got saved? And you know, it's a sad, sad commentary that I couldn't remember it. I remembered a lot of messages that preachers preached. But I could not remember ever hearing a clear presentation of the gospel. And you know what, folks? There are multitudes of churches today where the preacher's going to talk about inviting Jesus to come into your heart, make Him Lord of your life, and all these other things. And the gospel's not going to be preached. And there are people in Chattanooga, Tennessee. It's hard for us to believe. But there are people in chat, there may be some that work near you or live near you that have never heard the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the grace of God, without it being polluted. Now, you understand, they've heard that Christ died on a cross. They heard that He was buried and that He rose again. But it's altogether different when you hear that He died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. He was buried and He was raised again for our justification. As a matter of fact, look over in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians 1, verse 13, Paul said, "In whom you also trusted after you" what? "Heard." Well, you can't believe without hearing. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. "In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, what? The gospel of your salvation. That was the good news that God had extended His grace not only to those that were in the covenants of promise, not only those to whom He went to first, but He had extended His grace to all men, even these Ephesians, like Paul writes about over in chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenant's promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Folks, there's people that have never heard that. You know what? They still believe they're Israel. They believe they've taken Israel's place and have all their promises. There are some that believe that God chose them before the foundation of the world to be saved and excluded others, and that somehow God will reveal to them that they're saved or did reveal them. All of this nonsense. Listen, folks, Paul talks about the simplicity of the gospel. And the simplicity is that Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures. He was buried and He was raised again the third day according to Scriptures. Now that's the gospel. But the gospel of our salvation has to do with the fact that that message went beyond where it started. And it ended up with people like you and I, just like the Ephesians. And those idol-worshiping Ephesians, those idolaters. You see what Paul said there? He said, wherefore, remember. Remember. Remember, you Gentiles. In time past, you were called the uncircumcision. And what is amazing is what verse 12 says. That at that time you were without Christ. Now, you know why people believe today that people are without Christ? It's because they smoke cigarettes, drink beer, do drugs, all these other things. Paul said the reason you were without Christ, you Ephesians, is because you were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers of the covenant's promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You want to find people just like you in your Bible? You go to Colossians and Ephesians. That's us. Just like us. And Paul said, in time past, we were without Christ, had no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes are far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. There's people that's never heard that, and they need to hear it. That's why Paul said, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove and rebuke with all longsuffering. So there are those that have never heard of the dispensation of the grace of God. There are those that have never heard that Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles. There are those that have never heard the glorious gospel proclaimed by our apostle, the apostle Paul. They've heard Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They've heard the fact that Jesus Christ hung on a cross. He died there. But they've never seen and understood that Jesus Christ died for their sins and that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses. And He didn't just die for some of them. Or He didn't die for just the ones up until the time that you got saved, and after that you got to... All this nonsense that goes on. It's called preaching today. And it keeps people from seeing the light of the glorious gospel. They've not seen, they've not heard, they've not believed the gospel that Paul preached. And then the last thing I want you to notice this morning is multitudes of people have not heard the instruction for us today through the Apostle Paul. You see, by and large, religion doesn't want people to know that the liberty that we have in Christ. Why do I say that? Because religion causes the leaders of the religion to have control of those that are in the religion. And that's why it's so difficult many times for people to come out of the bondage of that religion. It's a regimented lifestyle. I've got a thing on the desk back there. 20 requirements to be a member of a particular church. Listen, folks, if I put that in effect, it'd just be me And I wouldn't even be a member because I wouldn't even meet those things. I mean, you had to commit to tithing. And if you didn't tithe, they'll come and collect and ask for it. You had to commit to a certain dress code. All of these things. And I read that and I think, more amazing than the list is the fact that people would allow somebody to put them under that kind of bondage. That's what's amazing. But then, you know, people are gullible. And it's amazing how easy it is for people to be deceived. That's the importance of the Word of God, folks. That's the importance of preaching the truth of God's Word, rightly divided. To a world out there, there are saved people in many churches out there. I know there's people who disagree with that. But listen, if a person has trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, it don't matter what kind of tag they got on them, they're saved. But there's a lot of them that aren't enjoying their salvation because of the bondage that they're under. They don't have the liberty in Christ Jesus. And when I say liberty, I'm not talking about just getting out and living like hell itself. I'm talking about the liberty of the truth of God's Word working in us. It's a wonderful thing to know the truth. Notice what Paul says over 2 Timothy chapter 1. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, the instruction to Timothy, he says, "Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me and Peter and James." And no, it's not what he says. "Hold fast the form of sound words, which what? Thou hast heard of me." Paul was not on some kind of ego trip. Paul was not someone that wanted to elevate himself. He called himself the chief of sinners. And when he said he is the apostle of the Gentiles, you know what he said? He said, "I magnify mine office." We don't worship Paul. Listen, what we do is we acknowledge the position that God gave him and the gospel God gave him and the truth that God gave him, and that is the form of sound words that we're to embrace today. He said, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love." Look over in 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also." Look back in Philippians. In Philippians, in Philippians chapter 3, in Philippians chapter 3, Paul says there, brethren, verse 17, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Well, isn't it interesting that the religious system, by and large today, everything is about earthly things. Even their hope is to inherit the earth. We have a heavenly hope, folks. And we learn about it through our apostle, the Apostle Paul. And you know, when Paul is writing about prayer, look over in Philippians chapter 4. We'll close here. In verse 9, he said, "Those things which you've both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." I don't believe anybody can have real peace without understanding that their sins are forgiven. They're all under the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't believe people have real peace without understanding that who they are and what their hope is. Where does that peace come from? The things which thou hast both learned and received and heard and seen in me, said, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Folks, we come in contact with people every day that's never heard these truths. Just ask them, have you heard? Have you heard of the dispensation of the grace of God? Have you heard that Paul is our apostle? Have you heard that salvation is by grace through faith? Have you heard what Paul says about how we're to live today? And if they're still standing there, tell them. Tell them. By then, most of them will have run. Because they'll think he's some kind of nut. We don't worship Paul. But we acknowledge, I tell people all the time, listen, I don't put any more emphasis upon, or probably not as much emphasis upon Paul as God did himself. God's the one that chose him to be the apostle of the Gentiles and gave him the message for us today in this dispensation. And we should never shy away from that. We should glory in the truth of the cross. As Paul said, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's only one way you can get saved today. And you can't find that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can't find it in Acts 2:38. The only place you're going to find how you can be saved is in 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The gospel is the power of God to salvation, and you don't have to get up and go anywhere, repeat anything, or anything else. All you have to do is receive that free gift of salvation and trust in what Jesus Christ did, just like those Ephesians, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. You know what? Every person listening over the internet this morning, listening to this on radio, or listening here in this auditorium, has heard the gospel of your salvation. Now the question is, would you just receive it as a free gift? I invite you to do that. You don't have to walk down. We don't give any kind of invitation. I just gave the invitation for you to receive Jesus Christ, your Savior, if you never have. I hope you will. Would you stand with me for prayer?